Scriabin was—he was affected by a lot of different things. First off, he was affected by synesthesia. Mm-hmm. It's a condition that caused him to associate colors with sounds, and he literally saw colors when he heard sounds. And in fact, in one of his pieces, the Prometheus, he included a part in the score for a keyboard of light, and the idea was a person would play this keyboard of light and it would bathe the hall in various colors as the sounds were being made by the orchestra. I think that, along with some of his ideas about, you know, from the Russian symbolist painters and so forth, really colored a lot of things. He was affected by the philosophies of Nietzsche early on, you know, around the turn of the century. And shortly after that, he started to get involved with radical cultish beliefs involving philosophical mysticism. And I think those drove what he did creatively for the rest of his life.
I like the idea that he had this organ did they ever build that?
Well, it was. I mean, it wasn't possible to do with the technology during his lifetime.
Yeah.
But I actually had an opportunity to play the keyboard of light in a performance.
No.
it's true. Lowell Cross at the University of Iowa, who worked in the recording studios there, ran the recording studios and the laser light installation at the University of Iowa, built a keyboard of light that was triggered by microphones and sounds that could, from an orchestra, and it would project various lights. And there was a keyboard associated with it that you could play. It was a soundless keyboard, but it played lights. You would push an F sharp and it would project a particular light, and with the tracer patterns from the video lasers, it could fill the hall with, you know, a laser light show. And we took that laser installation to Baltimore and did performances with the Baltimore Symphony at Meyerhoff Hall in Baltimore, and also in Carnegie Hall in New York with the Baltimore Symphony.
And you played?
I played the keyboard of light for the Prometheus with Lowell Cross.
We won't have light for this program, but we'll have
video images. Right. Symbolist artworks will be projected during the performance.
Can you speak to some of the pieces that he's going to perform?
Yeah, he's going to start out with a set of 9 preludes. They're chosen from various sets, primarily early works, and these will be more the Chopin-esque kind of style of Scriabin's writing. Then he's going to do a set of etudes. They're kind of transitional works. They're sort of post-romantic in style, but yet sort of forward-looking to some of the more experimental, idiosyncratic style that's to come from Scriabin. And then after intermission, Arthur's going to play 2 of the more famous works, the Sonata No. 7, the so-called White Mass. It was written in 1911, and this was one of Scriabin's favorite works, and he gave it the nickname himself. He associated it with mystical feelings and emotional lyricism and so forth. And then perhaps the most famous of all of Scriabin's sonatas is the so-called Black Mass Sonata. It's a single movement work, as are all of his later sonatas. The nickname was not given to the work by Scriabin, but I think it's a pretty appropriate one. You can sort of hear the devil dancing through all these figures of crescendoing trills, and the level of tension just constantly raises throughout the entire piece. In one little interlude in the piece, Scriabin marks the score poisonous. The tension level just never drops, and there's this thundering climax calculated into the piece, a real peak of dissonance, and the composer describes it as the parade of the forces of evil. And it's like the music seems to just blow apart into these whirling fragments, and all of a sudden the opening bars return, and you sort of sit there wondering, you know, how or where this dream ever vanished to, you know. It's just really stunning work, very powerful piece.
the audience will, I'm assuming it will be dark in the auditorium so that you can see the slides. It'll be
right. Dark. Arthur said he wanted the light as low as possible in the auditorium, just giving him enough to see the keys. And
so really the music will be almost without you're not focusing on the performer himself. You're focused on the music and the
step
and
into
the
a different realm.
Well, this will happen on Sunday, March 18th in Epley Auditorium at 3:00 in the afternoon. A perfect time to be transported. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.